Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
Hey, Taylor, how's it going? Anything to report?
Yeah, good. It's soccer season where I live, and I am a youth soccer coach in town. I coach the second grade Purple Panthers. And if you've ever seen Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell, there's your baseline. I think I keep my cool a little bit more than him. But yeah, I love it because I was not a soccer player growing up. But at this level, I have plenty to offer. A lot of what happens is just kind of like hurting the kids. We've outgrown the mob that chases the ball. That's like kindergarten.
Like bees swarming to the hive.
Exactly. It's like bees swarming to the hive. We've outgrown that, but kids are still kind of learning, where am I supposed to be on the field when I don't have the ball? Because when I've got the ball, it's really easy. Like, go to the net. Or when somebody has the ball near me, if it's the other team, you go to the ball, right? You play defense. But you'll see these kids, you can just see the gears turning in their heads. Like, their teammate has the ball and they're like 15 feet away. And their first instinct is like, well, I guess maybe I should be like 5 feet away from the ball, right? I'm supposed to go to the ball.
Or go get the ball.
Yeah, we had a couple kids that needed to talk about that. Don't steal from your own teammate.
Right.
But that's where I do a lot of coaching. It's like, if your teammate's got the ball and you're close by, run forward because then he can pass it to you and then you get to score the goal.
How to be a hero, right?
Yeah. And also there's a lot of teaching these kids to pick up the trash, right? The way you just really rack up the goals, because we don't do offsides in second grade, is you just park somebody right in front of the other net. One of his teammates is going to kick the ball at the goal. It's going to bounce out and you don't even have to kick it well. It's just going to go in. So they love it. I love it. Oh, and one other thing that's funny about where I live is it's so cosmopolitan. Like, there's so many kids that just have these like stellar soccer resumes. We have kids that are from Spain and Brazil and Argentina. I'm like, this is great. You guys are my aces.
Sometimes, right? Not all, but
No.
They're enthusiasts.
They're fantastic. So this month, we're talking about getting started on your home search because it's still spring market. And we're going to actually talk about tips for downsizing this week. So, Mom, what are some common misconceptions about downsizing and how can people overcome these to make informed decisions?
I think for people, when they're thinking about downsizing, the hardest thing they deal with is, how can I possibly get rid of everything that's in my house that I love? They could be family heirlooms. They could be a special collection. They could be rugs that fit a space properly, but were my grandmother's rug in her home. I find that the biggest thing when they start to downsize is the first panic mode is, what am I going to get rid of?
Yeah.
And what do I have to have and what do I not have to have? The second panic thing is when they're looking to downsize, they still want the spaces that are important to them to be the same size as the house they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. People that are choosing to downsize typically want a great master. They want closets. They want a nice bathroom and a nice size bedroom. The problem is you can't downsize to a little teeny home because it might have a very small closet. They also want entertaining spaces that can fit some of the things that they don't want to part with. A beautiful oriental rug that's 15 by 15. It doesn't fit in a much, much smaller house. I think the misconception with the word downsizing is people think that that means an individual is going to find a smaller house. And I don't think that's the right way to look at it. It's you're in a search to find a space that gets rid of the extra rooms that you really don't need and yet puts you in an environment where you can still do the things that you find important. Like, there are people that want to have a dinner party where they have 8 people. If you get too small of a dining area someplace, you give up the things that you don't want to give up. So downsizing is tougher. I personally have a house that's a ranch that I expanded and I made the first floor perfectly suited for me. It was a downsizing move.
Mm-hmm.
So the first floor is like 1,300 square feet. but it's the right 1,300 square feet for me. And people want their kids to still come, but they also don't want to maintain 5,000 square feet on multiple levels. And they really love the first floor master. They like great entertaining spaces. I think downsizing can be hard. Fortunately, there are a lot of these communities that are building great condos that have kind of an open floor plan that people like. Maybe find a ranch that you can kind of make work for the things that you find important. But I think downsizing is much harder than people think to begin with.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about getting started as a first-time home buyer. And we talked about, hey, you know, a lot of times we start with conception of like what this whole exercise means. And that brings in a lot of misconceptions. The way we get around that for first-time home buyers is we kind of map out, what are you trying to do here? Are you trying to like just get into the home ownership market? Are you trying to expand a little bit? It's the same thing with downsizing. Like, what are you trying to do? Is it that you live in a place like Weston with a 7,000 square foot home and your kids have gone to college and you're like, you know what? I really would like to spend a lot more time in Back Bay. So, okay, let's talk about what does life in Back Bay look like? And then we're going to back into what do we do with all of your stuff? What's coming with you? What's going into storage? What are you giving to your kids? What are you just getting rid of? And then whether or not you want to move to a place like Back Bay depends on, is that actually where you want to spend your time? Some people don't want that. They want to go live out in like a 55 plus community in Sudbury,
yeah,
surrounded by all the wetlands out there. And they want to go on nature trails and get all the fresh air.
Or they want a water view.
Yeah, or somebody wants a water view and they can get a seaport.
Yeah, it's like you said, there are two parts to downsizing. One is, where do you envision yourself next? And secondly is, how do I get rid of all these things that I've accumulated over, in many cases, 30 or 40 years, and what's important to me? And that's hard for people.
How does the search process change when you're downsizing compared to looking for a larger property?
I'm not sure it's that much different. What I found, people downsizing, many people want to go to more of a condo situation where they have less. If they're downsizing, sometimes they're downsizing because they either have another place they want to go, like Florida during the winter. And so they really don't want to take on a house per se. So I think downsizing has a couple different levels. One is, like you said, am I going to go live in the city? Does that mean I might spend winters in Florida? Does that mean that I'll come out to the suburbs and use my golf course in the summer? I think it's as complex as a first-time home buyer, but the needs are different. Space is different. Location is different. Whether it's a condo or a house is different.
Awesome. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with a couple more questions.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, Mom, what is a real estate agent's favorite music genre? I don't think you're going to know the answer to this one because I don't know that you know what this is.
A rapper? Rapping?
That's Santa Claus's favorite.
Give me another clue.
I'll just tell you, there's just no way. House music.
Oh, house music. Okay.
You know what that
is? I would never.
Yeah, exactly. That might not even be my time. That might be my kid's time. Okay, so question from the audience. Can you share some tips on prioritizing which features and amenities are most important when looking for a smaller home? I have a couple that have come up. One is first floor primary suite. A lot of folks, and it's not just for people who are downsizing, a lot of people who expect to have their parents come live with them, they want that. You either need that or an elevator, right, is another thing that a lot of people go
for. Or space for an elevator if necessary.
Yes, space for an elevator if you're buying a single family home or if you're like moving to a building with an elevator.
Correct.
Which a lot of these like beautiful old homes in Boston do not have. Like Back Bay, it's actually kind of tough.
It's tough. I had a condo that we sold a couple years ago. And it was the second and third floor. It was beautiful, but there was not an elevator. So you had to walk up
a lot of steps. Yeah. You know, what I've seen in some of these newer buildings in Seaport that I find have attracted kind of like a clientele that did downsize, a lot of people like for things to be brought to them. So that means a concierge.
Like Instacart or a concierge.
Well, like a concierge who will bring your packages in, who will make dinner reservations for you, who will get your dry cleaning done for you.
Like a full service building.
A full service building, yeah. And then they'll want maybe a gym space and a pool or some kind of large kind of like social space, right? Because if you're living in a condo downtown, you're not going to have those in your unit, but you can certainly have them in your building and they're pretty nice.
Yeah.
How about you? What do you think? If you were downsizing, what amenities would you look for?
Very good question. I probably wouldn't
dog spa?
Yeah, I was going to say, I probably wouldn't go in the city because I have too many dogs, which is a problem. But I think kind of what I was referencing before, I have come to understand that a good 1,300 square feet of space works for me. Simplicity of living. I have a number of rooms in my house that I never sit in. And that's terrible that aren't used. So I think we need rooms, but I'm not sure that's the case.
Exactly. Like maybe there's a creative way to satisfy whatever need that room satisfies for you.
Correct.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that great question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston, or on the web at yatesboston.com.